Everyone, hope my voice holds out okay. I've been battling a cold over the past week or so that seems to have come about as a result of allergies, and I feel so much better, but I don't always sound better, so you'll excuse me if I have to do a little bit of coughing. Tonight I would like to take a look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 in particular, and I'll read through the first 15 verses. Very good, thank you. I don't suppose there's Neocitrin in there, is there? Thank you. starting at verse 1 of chapter 12 in Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And you endure chastening, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." And we'll end our reading there, and we'll open in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just ask that you would give us some guidance here this evening as we look at these words. Lord, that you would help us to understand what you have in plan for us. Father, that you would help us to understand a bit more about what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. Lord, that we would be so impressed that we would go away from this place changed, that we would go away from this place with a desire to share the gospel, that people, whether they hear our testimony or see it, would be so impressed to learn something more of the Lord Jesus. It's his precious and worthy name that we present this morning, this evening, and we thank you in his precious and worthy name. Amen. I wanted to start off with a story. I'd seen a documentary some years ago, and I was very impressed by the testimony of one man who spoke of a very revolutionary man who wanted to create a revolutionary product, and this is something that occurred 40 years ago, and he had this vision of what this product would look like, and so he set on a mission within this company, and he walked into a cubicle of a particular worker who was working on his computer. And back then, of course, you didn't have hard drives where you were saving everything every couple of minutes. And this man was working away. He was programming something, the man who had walked into his cubicle said, "Listen, I've got something new that we are going to work on, and I want you to put this aside. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. I'm working on something here. I've got like 3 days worth of work here, and I'm trying to get it complete. And the man who had come into the cubicle says, no, you don't understand. What you're working on is garbage. Get rid of that. And the man resisted, and finally he pulled the plug on the computer, grabbed the equipment, walked out of the cubicle, and told the man to follow him. As Steve Jobs led that man away, he brought him into a team of people who would create, indeed, a revolutionary piece of equipment called the Apple Macintosh. And you can imagine what opportunities that man in the cubicle might have lost out on had he not followed Steve Jobs into a team that was going to head up this new creation. And I tell that story because Steve Jobs was leading someone into something revolutionary, and we likewise have been called to be part of something that is revolutionary. We've been called to join this race, and we read of this race here right in the very first verse. And that has certain implications for us. Now, when we read through the Gospels, and we see Jesus calling the disciples, he says, follow me, and we see them one by one dropping what they're doing, and they go to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, they did not know beforehand all of the things that they were going to be doing. You know, they did not know that, 3 years from now, they're going to end up in Gethsemane and Peter's going to pull out a sword and chop. They didn't know any of these things that were going to happen, but they knew that they had been called and they dropped everything and they went and they followed the Lord Jesus. and Luke 9 tells us that nobody puts their hand to the plow and looks back. They're not fit for service. And so we've been called to join in on this race, and we need to realize that this is a race. This is not a spectator sport. This is not something for Sunday morning only Christians. This is something for everybody who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to go join in on this race. and your abilities are not really something that is put into question here. A friend of mine, Brian Cretney, has many times said, God does not call the qualified. Instead, he qualifies the called. And so if you're here this evening and you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fantastic. If you do not feel that you've been joining in this race, I sincerely hope that you would be running the race this evening and continue to do so. But the fact of the matter is, when you first trust in Christ, we don't know a whole lot, do we? We might trust in a few verses that we have read, and we might understand that the wages of sin is death, and we understand that the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that might be all that we know when we come into this race. And we don't have a whole lot of knowledge. We don't know exactly what we are getting into. And bottom line is, we don't really need to know. All we need to know is that we've been called and that we have a willingness to give our life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we do often see people starting off well, but then they don't finish very well, and they find it very difficult to carry on. And we are told about this endurance in the first verse. There, we need to have this ongoing endurance to run the race with endurance. and I'll get into that more in a moment. But the concept of the race also implies a certain urgency. That is, we don't just simply go on a leisurely walk and enjoy the trees, and we're supposed to be in a race where we are competing. And 1 Corinthians 9, verse 4 would tell us that we ought to run in such a way that we would attain the prize, that we would get a prize for the things that we are doing. This is, by the way, this is a realistic thing for all of us. You know, you're probably like me. You're looking around the room like, okay, you know, I don't really compare very well to that brother, and he's going to outrun me, and then she's going to outrun me too, and I'm not a very good runner. You know, that is not exactly the kind of competition that we have here. We are not trying to try and swoop in and be better than everybody else, but we have this desire to attain. We have this desire to run the race as hard as we can and compete. And everyone can do that, regardless of your ability. Again, God qualifies the called. And so we are competing, and we are encouraging one another to do the best that we can to run this race. Now, in verse 1, we are instructed about some of the dangers that we can encounter as we try to run this race. And the first one is the concept of weights. Weights are actually pretty harmless in that, you know, we can lift weights and we can get strength from lifting weights and everything, but they're, on their own, they're generally harmless things. But if you put them into a backpack and you start to run a race with these weights in your backpack, what happens to the endurance? Well, of course, the endurance wanes, and eventually we give up. And that is exactly the same problem that we have when we are carrying weights in this race for Christ. And these things will weigh us down, and we get bogged down with many things. And we lose our endurance, and we give up, and we become not so productive for the Lord. So the point being that we need to get rid of any excess baggage. And I can give you an example in my own life. Very recently, I've been involved heavily with the cross-country ski club in Iroquois Falls, and I became a part of that several years ago, part of a very productive team where everybody seemed to be pulling their weight. And then gradually, one by one, people started to not be pulling their weight so much anymore. And I found gradually things were getting dumped onto me because nobody else was willing to do them, and they needed to be done. Some people had moved away, some people had retired, and the others were just, well, quite frankly, I think they were just done. So a lot of things were getting pushed onto me, and I was struggling immensely to try and deal with these things. And that was a weight on my back. Nothing wrong with it, nothing explicitly wrong with helping out and being a volunteer and being involved with the community, and I think these are great things. But unfortunately, those are the kinds of weights that can wear our endurance down and cause us to be ineffective. And so, praise be to God, there came about a lot of new blood, so to speak, coming into the ski club that has brought about a lot of relief from the responsibilities that I had. And you know, that's a huge weight off my shoulders. But you know what? There are many other aspects of our lives. You know, whether it's volunteer commitments, it could be financial commitments, it could be a lot of different things, which are weights, which in and of themselves are not necessarily harmless, but they can weigh us down, and we need to evaluate the things that we are involved with, the things that we have committed to, the investments that we have made, and make sure that they are not interfering with our service for the Lord. We also see in here, aside from the weights that slow us down, we see the sin which so easily ensnares us. And sin often has the appearance to us at first like it's a wonderful thing, and you know what, the consequences of it really aren't that bad. They don't really outweigh the pleasure. But, you know, we've all experienced times where that's simply not been the case. You know, it really does have an effect on our spiritual walk, whether it affects the things that you share at the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning, whether it affects the testimony that you have with your friends. The sin that sneaks into your life is going to affect the way that you function within the church. It is going to have an effect on your testimony. You think back to King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba. What was the charge that was brought against him? God said to him through Nathan that you have given an opportunity for the nations around you to blaspheme my name. And so that's a very, very sad thing. Sin is an incredibly dangerous thing, not to be taken lightly. And so we need to be careful about the sins that so easily ensnare us. So we need to know the dangers that we enter into when we go into this race. We also need to know that there are tools. And verse 2, we see right there at the beginning of it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, an author is someone, of course, who writes something, and he is writing our faith. He has given it to us in his word. And we can understand day by day as we read through the word, we grow up from that young Christian who never knew anything except, you know, Jesus loves me. And finally, we start to read through the Bible, and we start to understand it. And our faith grows, and we understand more, and we have 1,000 more questions today than we did yesterday, but we also know that we're gaining answers through the word. And so, God has written his word for us, and we need to look to Jesus. We need to look into this word and understand what is in there. It's been my observation, first of all, in my own life and my own Christian walk with the Lord, that we sell ourselves short. We sell God short as well. When we give up on the word, we say, you know what? There's an awful lot of pages in here. Is there not like a Cole's Notes version? Maybe a couple of sheets where we could, you know, just get the basic idea of it. We come across a difficult verse, and rather than look into it and dig into it, we sell ourselves short and say, well, you know what? We don't understand that. We're not going to worry about studying it. We're not going to try and dig any further. I know for many years, I looked for the pat answers, and I believed things simply because the guy standing up there with the nice tie taught it, and you just gobbled it up and said, okay, well, it sounds good to me. We need to take that word and we need to digest it for ourselves, and we really do need to look at it. Regardless of your abilities, do what you can to understand it. both Christians and non-Christians sometimes have difficult times accepting what's written in here, but it is vital for us to understand what exactly God has in mind for us. Back in 1995, I went to a leadership camp in which we were taught some basic principles of studying the Word of God, and I was absolutely blown away by it. It taught me a lot, but the sad thing about going to that camp was that once the camp was over, I very quickly slid back into my lackadaisical study of God's word, which meant, you know, I might read a couple of pages a day, but that's about as far as it went. And the years that followed, I went to similar camps, and I learned very similar study methods of digging into the word of God. And again, you know, I'd spend 2 weeks at camp, and you do all these things, and you understand it, and Then you go back home and you slide back into the way things used to be. And this went on, I'm going to say, for maybe 5 years. And when I reached my late 20s, I really came to realization that I was fully trained to do these things. I had understood it. But I lacked one thing, and that was the discipline in my own life to actually sit down, not while I'm at camp, but while I'm at home, and actually sit down and do it. And so I began to do that. And it was hard. I'll be honest with you, it was very hard. But it required a certain amount of discipline, that stick-with-itness of going through with it. And let me tell you, it takes some time. But the rewards of it, they never leave you, and the benefits of it are immense. And so we need to know that there are tools here. We have tools in front of us, and we are asked to look to the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Also in verse 2, we need to understand the goal of this race. says here that Jesus ran this race, and he said it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Did you ever wonder what that joy was? What was the joy set before the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross? Of course, it was you and I, wasn't it? He had that joy of knowing that each one of us, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we could be with him for all eternity instead of being lost like we deserve. And so that is the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ had, that joy of seeing us again. Is that your joy this evening? To see your friends saved so that you'll see them in heaven again? Do you think about your friends? Do you pray for your friends? That's something that convicts me. You know, I have a lot of people in my life. Some of them know the Lord and aren't walking with the Lord. Some people don't know the Lord at all. They have no desire to. And there are times where I really do fail. I fail in trying to present the gospel to them. But I still have the inner yearning to share it with them. And so I would ask you to consider, do you have that same joy set before you? Do you understand the goal of what we are trying to attain? Verse 3 says that we ought to consider him, lest you become weary or discouraged. We gather in the name of the Lord Jesus, who suffered immensely. And, you know, sometimes we go through our own suffering. Sometimes we have people do things that are really not so nice to us. And we get very offended. We get discouraged sometimes. And if we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through, it really ought to put into perspective the way we are treated ourselves. Each one of us here this evening has never reached the point that the Lord Jesus reached. You know, whether it's being persecuted for the things that you have said, you know, we have not endured that kind of persecution. We have not put up with the same kind of accusations that the Lord Jesus did. recently, I seem to have, every time I listen to a visiting speaker, whether it's at a conference or something like that. Recently, I've noticed a lot of speakers have been going on about forgiveness and bitterness. And one brother just came a week ago and shared a message with us at our midweek meeting. And I couldn't help notice a bit of a theme that the Lord was maybe speaking to me. And it's reflected in verse 15 as well in this chapter. And the idea of bitterness and this unforgiving spirit, we can have a lot of things happen to us, but we ought to consider how forgiving the Lord Jesus Christ was. And that ought to put into perspective the way that we react within the church. As we run this race, don't get so caught up in what everybody else is doing. And he offended me, and I'm going to trip him up because he tried to trip me up. And you know, we can really lose focus of our calling if we get caught up and we get weary and discouraged because we don't consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through himself. The verses from 5 to 11 tell us that we need to understand the necessity of discipline as we run this race, and that sometimes we receive discipline from the Lord and from others as he uses them as a way of guiding us. It is not meant to be a method by which we are discouraged, that we say, okay, I'm going to shut down now. I'm clearly not of use for the Lord, so I'm just going to stop doing what I'm doing. That's not the intent of the Lord rebuking us or disciplining us. It is painful, as we read here. It is not something that we enjoy, but it is intended to enable us. There is a result that is supposed to come out of that, other than us shutting down and stopping what we're doing. We're supposed to evaluate ourselves and make changes for the better. And incidentally, sometimes these rebukes that we might receive come almost disguised in ways that you might not expect. I remember one time I was chairing a meeting. And I put out the opportunity there for people to offer up requests for songs, and right away my son's hand went up, and I said, "Okay, Micah, what song do you have?" I was quite excited that he had such an inner desire for us to sing a song together at the chapel, and he said, "Cuts Like a Knife." And I'll tell you, as my wife says, if the ground had opened up and swallowed us at that moment, we would have been perfectly fine with it. and that was a rebuke to me. You know, it really made me think, okay, what kind of music do I have playing at home which my children are listening to? And is that God-honoring music? It's kind of a funny story, but really it does speak to us when we see things like that and we hear things like that and we realize, okay, I never really thought of that before. What kind of change do I have to make in my life so that that doesn't happen again? We need to have a teachable spirit. I wonder what would have happened to David if he had not accepted that rebuke from Nathan. Don't forget that we see other incidents of believers rebuking believers in the Bible. We see the Apostle Paul rebuking Peter because he was trying to make all these Gentiles act like they're Jewish. So we ought not to just simply get our backs up and say, "Well, I'm this guy's upset with me. I've been rebuked, and therefore I'm not going to participate anymore." No, that's counterproductive. We need to take that into consideration, that perhaps there is some truth in what people are telling us, and we need to make a change. And I might also add, to make sure that if you do bring someone's attention to something, you know, whether it's in a manner of a rebuke or whether it's a little bit more subtle than that, that you do so in a way that is sincere and not under false pretenses. And I've seen situations where people say things and do things under the pretense of Christian love when really they're trying to take a little jab at somebody. And I've seen some miserable instances come out of that. I've seen people pitted against each other within an assembly. I've seen people pushed away from an assembly, all because these comments and things are done in a way that is not sincere. It's done under false pretense. Also, the point of bringing about some type of a discipline should always be with the intent that there is repentance, there is some type of a change. This morning, actually, was a wonderful opportunity to reconnect with a brother who I haven't seen for quite some time now, and he was actually read out of fellowship some years ago. And as harsh a moment that was years ago, he has made some tremendous changes in his life, and he got to share some of those things with me today. And so I told him that I would continue praying for him, and that Lord willing, he could one day come back into fellowship again. I think that would be wonderful. But any type of rebuke is always to be with the sincerity of restoration, that each one of us could be a useful part in the body of Christ. Verse 12 and on down tells us that we need to understand the importance of training. A brother that was speaking recently, what I'm going to tell you, he'd actually mentioned several years ago, and it always really stuck with me. He said, we need to be careful that as we do go through our training, as we study the Word of God, and we make all these preparations for the gospel, that we don't simply sit there and hone our tools and get them ready for the work, and then never get the work actually done. That described me, especially in my younger years, always studying the Word of God and yet never really getting the Word out there. And that visual always really stuck with me, that God has asked us, basically, that we ought to be using our gift and not simply developing a gift and not simply just getting knowledge for the sake of knowledge, because having that knowledge and not sharing it with the rest of the world really isn't going to be helpful at all. Verse 13 talks about the healing that can be brought about by our training and being ready to go into service. Verse 14 tells us that going through this race and training for this race is going to let people see the Lord. Are you pursuing peace with people? These are relatively simple things that we can do, pursuing peace and trying to be peacemakers with one another. Are you doing that? Do people see that? Do people say, wow, there is someone who is trusting in the Lord. There is somebody I would like to get to know better. Each one of these things that we read in here, they give us an opportunity to share with the people around us. Now, I'm going to use one last image here before I close off, and that is a friend of mine who was heavily into racing, He was doing actually a very major course. He was functioning at the national level, he'd gone through the course. He'd done very well, and he was in on his last lap, he was well ahead of everyone else, and he was doing very well. And at one point in time, somewhere along that trail, he got lost. And he took a wrong turn, and of course, what happened next was people caught up, and he didn't even show. Actually, he once he realized he was off trail, he kind of gave up because he realized he had completely blown the race. I've heard of incidents where people who have a tremendous amount of respect within assembly, have in just a very brief moment, a moment where perhaps rage has kicked in, just completely obliterate the testimony that they've worked up for such a long time. And you know what? Each one of us can do that. If we don't keep these things in mind, if we don't keep this race in mind, if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated, is what we're told in Colossians chapter 3. So I hope some of these things have spoken to you, maybe given you some energy to consider this race. What is it that you're doing to prepare yourself? What is it that you're doing on a daily basis? Do you have opportunities? And believe me, I'm speaking to myself before I'm speaking to anyone else here. You know, there are a lot of things that I need to evaluate in my Christian walk. A brother was mentioning this morning about how an opportunity we have, a simple opportunity we have, is to sit down amongst the rest of your coworkers at lunchtime and bow your head to pray. Do you do that? You know, I often do. Sometimes I do the sort of, you know, the headache thing. But you know what? That's a simple thing where people can make an identification with you. You know, whether it makes you look godly or not is maybe not the question here. But the fact is they make some type of identification with you and the God who created you. You know, we pass up opportunities all the time, but I trust that these things will maybe make you think about the things that we do with our neighbors, with our friends, the people we work with. We have been given a great race to run. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men. Father, we consider the things that we have gone through so minuscule compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us. Father, we want to thank you that he did so willingly. Lord, help us to love others in kind, that we might show them the love of Christ. Father, we pray that you would bless each one here. Thank you for bringing them here. Lord, we pray that each one would go away from this place blessed. Lord, that the world itself might be blessed as we go back and we interact with people, our neighbors, with the people we work with. Lord, we pray for a blessing upon each one. In Jesus' precious name, amen.